I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Today we continue with our study on the life of Christ. We'll be looking in just a few moments at the miracles of Christ. This is lesson number 5. Let me invite you to look at our website today, and on that website you can download this program once again. You can listen to it once again and other programs of It's a Good Life, and you can also download a transcript of this program and other programs of It's a Good Life. Go to our website, lrwm.org. lrwm.org, and on the website you'll not only be able to download transcripts and other programs of It's a Good Life, you'll be able to access other preaching messages. You'll also be able to look at some Bible study helps, and that website is designed for you that you can go to as a Christian or a person who does not know Christ, and you can become acquainted with Him. You can go to that website and find Bible study helps, lrwm.org. And you can write to me today, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. And I'll be glad to send you a written transcript of this program free of charge. And all you need to do is request that. Give me a date of the one that you want, the transcript that you want, and I'll be glad to send that to you. Well, today we're going to look at the miracles of Christ. And let me remind you, we will not be going into really depth on these subjects, but this will give us an overview as to what the Bible has to say about the life of Christ. Well, the last time we looked in study number 4, and we asked the question, who is Jesus? Well, who is Jesus? In Matthew 16:15, the Bible says the Lord asked His disciples the most important question, but whom say ye that I am? And people's eternal destiny depends on how the question, whom say ye that I am, is answered. And there are only three honest answers and only one true answer that can be given as to who Jesus really is. Either Jesus was a liar, a lunatic, or He is Lord. Well, was Jesus a liar, lunatic, or Lord? What was Thomas's conclusion in John chapter 20 and verse 28? He said, my Lord and my God. And then we see Peter's conclusion in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16 and Acts 2:36. He said Christ, both Lord and Christ. And then we see Paul's conclusion in Titus chapter 2 verse 13 and Romans 9 and verse 5. He said this about Christ, God, He's God and Savior. John's conclusion was this in 1 John 5:20, that Christ is the true God. The writer of Hebrews concluded in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8 that Christ is the Son of God. The Son of God is God. Hebrews 1:8 says, but unto the Son He hath thy throne. He saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Who do you say Jesus really is? If you say that He's the Son of God, that He's God of very God, and you've never asked Him into your heart, you're very close to Him. You may know about Him, but you need to have Him in your heart. You need to ask Him to save you today so you can go to heaven. Just knowing about Him is not enough. Just having the head knowledge will not take you to heaven. You need Him in your heart. Ask Him to come in. Be willing to turn from your sin. Lord, I repent and turn from my sin. Come into my heart. I receive You as my Savior. And if you'll do that, faith believing, He'll save you so you can go to heaven. Well, today, our study number 5, the miracles of Christ. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples. Remember, we studied about those 12 disciples. He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, when John had heard in the prison, this is John the Baptist, the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Well, first of all, we see that there was an abundance of miracles in the life of Christ. Sometimes people think that the Bible is filled with accounts of miracles on every page from Genesis to Revelation. There are many people who are familiar with the four Gospels, but they are not well acquainted with the rest of the Bible, especially the Old Testament. And of course, the pages of the Gospels are filled with numerous examples of miracles, and people could wrongly conclude that the same thing is true of the rest of the Bible. In fact, miracles in the Bible are relatively rare. There are many godly men throughout the pages of the Bible and history who never performed miracles. God is free to perform miracles at any time according to His sovereign will and purposes. God protected Daniel. As we look at the life of Daniel, He protected Daniel from the man-eating lions in Daniel chapter 6, verse 16, verse 22, and 24. But I want you to notice this. But as far as we know, Daniel himself never performed any miracles. Now, the Bible indicates that there have been only three major periods of miracles in history. That is, times when God gave certain men remarkable powers to perform amazing, undeniable mysteries. The first example, the first major period is this. It's during the time of Moses in Exodus and Joshua. In Joshua, the book of Joshua, we see that Moses performed miracles and so did Joshua. The second period is during the time of Elijah and Elisha, 1 Kings and 2 Kings. And then the third is during the time of Christ, John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And He also gave these miracles, to be able to perform these miracles to the 70, in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 20, and also to the apostles, Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. You can also look at Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 and 8. Apart from these three unique periods of supernatural activity, miracles were the exception rather than the norm. And one of these exceptional outbreaks of miracles took place during the earthly ministry of our Lord. Well, why did Jesus perform miracles? He showed that He could do the miracles. And it would seem that He's asking, what miracle is easiest? You need to consider the account of a paralytic man found in Luke chapter 5, verse 17 through 26, Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and Matthew chapter 9 and verse 8. The Lord actually tells us exactly why He healed this man in Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. The first part of that verse says, But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. That's the reason Christ performed miracles, is so that people could see on earth the Son of Man had the power to forgive sin. Jesus made the amazing claim that He could forgive sin according to Luke chapter 5 and verse 20. He said, And when He saw their faith, He said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven. Mark 2:5 says, When Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven. And then we look into the book of Matthew chapter 9. You can read all these verses later, verses 1 through 8, but I call to your attention verses 4 and 5. It says, And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. Now the Jews did not believe that Jesus was able to forgive sin, according to Mark chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. These Jews could not look into the man's heart. They could not see that something had taken place there that transformed him from death into life. They could not see his heart and see whether or not his sins had really been forgiven. Jesus asked a puzzling question. What is easier to say, thy sins are forgiven, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? Is it easier to forgive his sins or to heal his body? Mark chapter 2 and verse 9 talks about this. How would you have answered the Lord's question? How would you have asked this? What's easier? Is it easier to forgive his sins? Is it easier to heal his body? Or is it impossible for man to do either? Well, the right answer is, it is easier to heal the body than to forgive sin. Well, how could Christ prove he had the authority and power to forgive sins? How could he demonstrate his authority to the invisible spiritual realm? In Mark chapter 2 and verse 10, the Lord tells us the primary reason why he healed this man. Mark chapter 2 verses 10 and 11 says, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." That's the reason he did it. He saith to the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house." Jesus proved his authority, that he had the authority in the invisible spiritual realm by performing a fantastic miracle in the visible physical realm, which no one could deny. If Christ had the power to perform the miracle of healing, then this would prove that he also had the power to perform the miracle of forgiveness. Well, what authenticates Christ as the Messiah? We see the carpenter. We see the carpenter claim to be Christ, the Messiah, John chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. The carpenter had no formal education according to the Jews, John chapter 7 and verse 15. But yet the carpenter taught the people that he was sent from God with a heavenly message, John chapter 7, verse 16, verses 28 and 29. Jesus backed up his claim to be able to forgive sins by performing many miracles. We see many of these miracles. The miracle of the wine in John chapter 2, verses 6 and 9 through 9 and verse 11. The miracles of healing, the paralytic man in Luke chapter 5. The feeding of the multitudes of the 5,000 plus men and plus the women and children, Matthew chapter 14, verses 16 through 20. On and on the miracles go, how that Christ performed these miracles. Why? To show people that he could be the one who forgave them of sin. He was also seen raising the dead in John chapter 12, verses 1 and 9 and 17. And notice the acceptance of Jesus as God by a ruler of the Jews because of miracles. In John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do what? These miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." And notice those who opposed Jesus knew and acknowledged that Jesus did many miracles. John 11, 47. "Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles." But what did the miracles of Jesus prove? According to the Old Testament prophets, when Messiah would come to earth, he would set people free physically and spiritually. Isaiah 35, 5 and 6, 61. And verse 1, do you know him today as your Savior? Have you trusted him? Ask him to come into your heart right now. If you do know him, live for him today. Let him lead you and guide you. And remember, Jesus is coming soon. Our redemption draweth nigh.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.